Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series, Simple Church, that is looking at growing into the disciples that Jesus wants us to be. As we worship, grow spiritually, and fellowship with one another, there comes a time when we are called to service in God's kingdom. Jesus famously said in Mark 10, verses 43 to 45, that to be great in God's kingdom, we must become a servant. For even Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Several times in the New Testament, the writers list various spiritual gifts that are available to Jesus' followers. The key is to identify those gifts and begin to use them in our everyday lives. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Reminds me of the parable of the talents, where Jesus told in Matthew 25, "He gives to each of us special abilities of varying degree. It's our duty and calling to use them for his glory. If we don't, we are like the one servant that buried his ability and was punished for neglecting God's gift in his life." Jesus was clear. When we try to save our lives, we will lose them, but if we lose our lives for him, we will save them. Join us this morning to see what we were created to do for God and for others. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus, and thank you for listening.
That chorus can't but lift our hearts, no matter where we're at in our lives right now. Oh, how we love Jesus. Let's pray together this morning. Oh God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that pursuing what you have promised, we may share your heavenly glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our children's time is led by our senior high puppets.
Good morning. Thank you for coming today, and hello to our online friends too. Did you know that everyone here makes up the body of the church? So what does that mean? Well, it takes a lot of people to make a church. It's kind of like our own bodies. We have ears, eyes, hands, arms, legs, and feet. It takes all part to make a body. No one part means more than another.
That is what it is like to be part of a church. One person can sing. One person can teach, one person can lead services or groups, one person can ring bells. If only we had one of these in church, it wouldn't be very interesting. Paul was an apostle for Christ who went to many cities and taught the people about Jesus. He knew it took many people with many talents to make up a church.
In another book written by James, who was Jesus' brother, gave us the way to help others and ourselves by praying. We have heard about the five-finger prayer. The thumb is closest to us when we hold our hands in prayer. That means pray for those closest to you, parents, sisters, and brothers. The pointer finger represents teachers and our pastor. The middle finger represents our leaders both here and in our world. The ring finger represents praying for those who are sick or hurting. And the little finger stands for prayer for you.
Please bow your heads for prayer. Thank you, God, for helping us see that each of us are important in your sight. We are the body of the church. Help us do our part in making it great, and thank you for encouraging us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may go back to your seats.
Kathy Grant reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Simple Church, the Power of True Fellowship.
Okay, the first one I'm going to read of scripture comes from Romans 12, 9 through 18, page 987, if you care to join me in reading. Let love he without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing all the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those that do not curse you. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one with evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Next I'm going to read from is going to be James. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. In the prayer of faith, you save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses, sins, into one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he turns a sinner from error of his ways, will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
Thank you, Kathy. It's great to be in worship, great to be with you, and we're going to continue to look at the things that we want to focus on as a church. Why do people come to church? Why do they come? Many times they come because someone invited them. Maybe they come because they like the music. They like the look of the church. They may have even come because they like the preaching of the church a little bit. But the reason that people stay at church is because of their relationships with one another. There's going to be a card. I'm going to have the ushers hand them out at this morning after church. Take one with you per family. Again, it's our discipleship dashboard. How do we want to grow? We talked about it last week. How do we measure spiritual growth? Number one, we want to be connecting through regular worship. We want to be here regularly together. Worship individually through the week, just not make it a one-day event. Last week, we talked about growing through our prayer life, growing through our scripture reading, growing through our service time, and just growing, making sure that we're continuing to mature and complete the way that God wants us to be as a disciple. And the third thing that we're looking at is love and fellowship. In smaller groups, we offer Sunday school, choirs, brotherhood, women's guild, youth fellowships, Wednesday night meals, and Bible studies. We get to know each other, share joys, share sorrows, and support each other in love. If you want to become the disciple that Christ wants you to be, you need to be fellowshipping regularly with other Christians. There was an episode of Andy Griffith, an episode of a man that shows up in town. Nobody knows who he is. He shows up and he acts like he knows everyone. He knows them by name. He knows all their history about their family. He knows their favorite color. He knows their favorite meal. He gets interested in a certain girl and really tries to impress her by reciting everything about her. The problem was that nobody knew who he was. He was a stranger, and they got scared because of this. And they all banded up together to run this guy out of town. Andy finally gets with him and says, you know, what's the deal here? What's going on? And he says, well, my plan didn't work. And Andy said, well, what plan are you talking about? He said, well, my bunkmate in the Army was from Mayberry. Every week we got the newspaper of Mayberry, and I read it from cover to cover. And he says, fell in love with the town of Mayberry. You guys love each other. You knew each other. He says, I wanted to be so much part of that community and so much part of that fellowship. So I grew up in a big city, didn't have much of a family, didn't have a lot of friends, and I wanted to experience what you guys have experienced all your lives. And so Andy said, well, it takes time for that to happen. You got to spend time with one another. That's what happens when we spend time together in our church family outside of this time right now on Sunday mornings. You know, some groups are a little bit better than others. Some of the groups that I didn't stick with growing up, I did not stick with the Boy Scouts. I tried for a couple weeks, tried to do some of the things that they had. The one thing that was kind of the linchpin for me not to make it through Boy Scouts was the first camping trip that we went on. It rained 3 inches. I volunteered my dad's canvas tent. It was flooded. And I brought home a messy, yucky, muddy, canvas-smelling, moldy tent to my dad. And he said, "That's the last time you're going to Boy Scouts." I think it was propped up down in the basement for weeks to air out that smell. That smell still may still be in that basement downstairs. I went out for the golf team my sophomore year of high school. After I lost all my golf balls, that lasted about a week. I was done with that small group with that. Didn't pick it up again until later in college and much later when, much to the chagrin of my wife, Betty, played a lot when we first got married. But what kind, you know, people come to church because they want to fellowship with one another. Fellowship is the glue that sticks people to the church. When you look in Acts chapter 2, that we see the fellowship was a core principle of the church growing and people growing as disciples. If you'll turn with me there this morning, we've got some other scriptures that you'll write down there in your bulletin. We've got a space for you to write down some notes and other scriptures that you can read those through the week. But it says this, is right after Peter's sermon. He'd preached the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people have come to know the Lord. Thousands of people have become Christians on that day. Now what are they supposed to do? They liked the preacher. They liked Peter. They believed in the message. Look what the early church devoted themselves to. Verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We see there that they were devoted to a couple things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. We talked about that last week. And the second thing, they were devoted to the fellowship and being with one another, getting to know one another, sharing with one another. Jesus started this principle when he recruited the 12 disciples to go with him. For 3 years, they spent time together. They ate together. They slept together. They traveled together. They were in stressful situations. They saw Jesus feed the thousands. They saw Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead. They struggled with his teachings. When he would be away from the crowd, they would ask him questions about some of his teachings, saying, "We don't quite get this. We don't quite agree with it. Could you explain it to us more?" We see them with him on the Mount of Transfiguration when he just took three of them with him. We see them all together with him in the garden. And then we see him with John chapter 6, I think kind of the crucible of their relationship. They had to make a decision where they were going to stick or they were going to go. Isn't that the thing that you have to do when you decide to become part of a church family? You have to decide if you're going to stick or you're going to walk out and try to find somewhere else. Jesus had fed thousands and people were following. They were liking their preacher. They were following the crowd. The church was growing. And then Jesus gave that hard teaching about drinking his blood and eating his flesh. The people started to disagree with that. They were there because they wanted food. They didn't really want spiritual stuff. They just wanted food. And all the people left except for his disciples. And Jesus turned and looked at him and says, "Are you guys going to leave too?" And Peter turned around and looked at him and said, "You're the only one that have the words of eternal life." They built that trust because they had spent time together. Outside the big mass time, you know, with other people and the big groups that they would be with, they spent time together. We see that the early church, the reason that they devoted themselves, and the word that he uses there for devoted themselves to the fellowship is a word called koinonia. It's not just potlucks. It's just not asking people about the weather or how their day went. That fellowship meant that they were ready to share of themselves, that they made it a hallmark, a key point of their church service and their church itinerary, that they were going to spend time together. Because if you don't spend time outside of this body here, you don't get to know each other. I see small groups in our community all the time. I see them every time I go to the gym. I see that small groups of the family of those parents that travel and watch their kids play. We were part of that group at one time. You have that small group, and we kind of know each other. We kind of know the things that are going on in life. And I remember Amy's group, they had been together since kindergarten all the way through their senior year, all the different activities that they were in. And one of the mothers came down with a diagnosed with breast cancer. I remember Betty gathered up all the other ladies and they had prayer right before she was going to go in for her first surgery. And they prayed for her constantly when she went through her radiation and all the reconstruction, all the difficult days and months that came after that, because they dedicated themselves to getting to know one another outside of Sunday worship service. One of the scriptures that Kathy read this morning from Romans chapter 9 says they devoted themselves to the love, that they devoted themselves and that love must be sincere, that they are to honor one another above themselves. That word that he uses there, to be devoted to one another in love, it's a brotherly love. It's a parental love. Man, I'm at the ball games, I see the parents. I see how invested we are in our kids. This past week, we went and watched our middle daughter coach volleyball down at Versailles. And I remember, you know, as the game was not going kind of the way that the other parents went, I could kind of feel the frustration. I could kind of feel those old feelings, you know, of my kid being out there and hurting when my kid hurts, hurt when my kid struggles, feeling frustrated when things are not going their way. That's the word that Paul is using here. It's that kind of love that we feel what each other feels. It's a love that's sincere. It's a love that honors one above the other. It's a kind of love that encourages and lifts each other up, even when we don't get our own way. I think it's interesting in this section of Scripture that he gives us all these different phrases, great verses to hold on to, but then he goes into the parts that there's going to be struggles. He says, bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn, or in some of your versions it might say, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Because he understood that the church is going to have people of all different statuses and all different wealth cultures. And that the one thing that binds us together is our love for Jesus. And that we should not let our class, that we should not let our culture, that we should not let our different things divide us from that. And then he closes with this verse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. He knew that Satan was going to try to get in and divide. When you see churches that split, they've kind of let that start to happen in their midst because they lost the true power of fellowship. When we honor someone above us, when we are humble, when we put their needs above our needs, when we share with them, when we learn to know what they're struggling with, we'll be less inclined to have harsh feelings toward them. We see in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes this. In every letter that you see Paul write, he always has a section about fellowship. Because it's the heartbeat, it's the life stream of a successful and growing church. He writes this to the Philippian people. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. He knows that fellowship is tough sometimes. Sometimes we don't get exactly what we want, and sometimes things don't go our way. But when we know one another, we know the struggles that we have, when we know the history and the things that we've gone through, and we know what the future that we hold, if we stay strong together, the success that God wants to bless us with. But how do we develop that power of true Christian fellowship? When people come here, they're asking questions. When new people that you've invited or people come off the street walking into our building, into our sanctuary, they're asking some questions. They ask the number one question, do I fit here? Do people here accept me? Are they judging me, or do they accept me for who I am? They ask another question, does anybody want to know me? The first thing that people say when they leave the church here, any church that they go to, one of the first comments they'll make is whether anybody said hi to them or didn't say hi to them. When you walk into a church, people should say hi, and if they don't see somebody that they know, hey, sit with me. Let me show you around. Let me introduce myself to you. They want to have friendships. They want to have what we have, long-lasting relationships that can stand the test and time and the struggles that we go through. And then they ask a third question. Am I needed? Do you need me here? Can I be involved? Can I use the talents that God has blessed me with to continue to serve and encourage, like you even say, encourage others that are around you? That only happens if we spend time with each other outside these walls. That's why we have all these different opportunities through the week. We have our Wednesday night meals. We have our Sunday school classes. We have our women's and our brother and our different choirs. Those are all small groups that, where, yes, we have different goals and ideas, but we get a time to spend and enjoy and get to know one another. I can show you the power of that because we experienced it again last night. Betty and I went out to eat with a couple that we've known for over 30 years. It's probably about this time over 30 years ago, we were in a Sunday school class together, young parents. Little kids not knowing exactly all the answer to how to raise our kids. We didn't know who to go to. I remember sitting in a class of young adults. Yes, at one time I was a young adult, Sue, okay? One time I was, like all of you in here. And I remember sitting in that class. I wasn't teaching at the time. We had a fairly good-sized class, but then our church went through a difficult time, and many people left, including the teacher. I remember sitting in the class one morning, and I can picture it still in my head right now. There was three couples in there, including Betty and I. Rob and Gina Roebuck, and Todd and Don Beaverson. We didn't have a teacher, and there was real question whether we would have the class ever again. And I remember Rob spoke up, and he said, Russ, if you'll teach the class, I'll be your backup. Now, I didn't know Rob very well. I knew his wife a little bit because she was a secretary at the college I had attended, so I knew them a little bit. But then we decided to teach that class together, and in 3 years, we went from three couples to 22 couples. Young families that started coming to the church, not because of any wonderful teaching, but because we made a commitment that outside the walls, we were going to get together in each other's homes. Once a month, we would get together in somebody's home. We'd share a meal without the kids. We'd hire babysitters to take care of our kids. And we'd talk about parenting. We'd talk about marriage. We'd talk about the struggles. And it bonded, made a bond between all of us. A bond that still lasts today because of that. In fact, when we got together last night, we weren't talking about the struggles we had with our kids. We're talking about the struggles now we have with our grandkids. Our little guy's in kindergarten. He's having some good days. He's having some bad days. And found out that they've got a grandkid going through the same thing. So we felt like, oh, hey, maybe it's not something unusual. We just encourage one another. But that relationship grew deeper later on that year, that first year we had our class. I was bow hunting out near Rob and Gina. Drove by their house regularly. And I remember coming home one night. It was at dusk. I was in my camo. And there'd been an accident. Rob's grandpa had been on a tractor with no lights. A guy had come over a hump going a little bit too fast, knocked the tractor in the ditch and knocked his grandpa onto the highway, broke bones on him, and he was just laying there. And I happened to come on it same time that Rob was coming down from the house because it happened just right below their house. And I stayed with Rob until the ambulance showed up, until the highway patrol showed up, until all the authorities showed up, stayed there until they loaded his grandpa onto the ambulance. Didn't know him very well, just stayed there and just was around him. And I remember he told his wife, he says, that meant so much to me. From that moment on, we've had a strong bond, not because of anything we did in Sunday school class, which I want you to be there. That's a small group. It happened because we spent time outside the building. Paul wrote to the Galatians, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. How do you carry each other's burdens if you don't know each other's burdens? How do you help out people in time of need if you don't know who they are? A time when you spend time in each other's homes, know what you do when you're in each other's homes? You find out that not everybody has a perfect life. You find out that some people have dirty dishes that they don't clean until the next day. You find that some people don't wash their clothes every single day. They may not get to them weak and they get piled up and there's a mess in the bedroom. Our house, we close up the closet if people come up so they don't see that mess. But you start to learn that people are struggling. They need the encouragement. The image that comes to mind, and we see it every week on the football field, or we see it on the volleyball court, we see it on the softball diamond or the basketball court, is when somebody gets injured, they're laying there, their teammates come out, and that injured one puts his arms around the shoulders of his teammates, and they carry him off the field. He's injured. He needs their help. When we have the true power of fellowship, we know the hurts that our people are going through. We put our arms around each other, and we carry them off the field, and we know that they're not alone. I've seen that in action in the last couple years. Unfortunately, we've had a couple young mothers, lose their husbands suddenly, trying to figure out which way to go. And we've had one lady in this community that runs a business. And she's gathered up those ladies underneath her wings, and she's used them at her business to say, hey, you're going to keep going forward. You're going to make it through this, and I'm going to make sure you're going to make it through it. See, that's a small group. That's fellowship. That's the power of Christ's love with us today. And you all would understand this illustration as well. When you feed your livestock and all your livestock comes in for water and for food, you'll see them all there. If there's one missing, what do? You go out looking for them. You want to see if they're injured. You want to see where they're at, if something's happening, if they've been attacked by some predator. I kind of value Sunday morning the same way. This is our feeding trough. This is where we get the living water. This is where we get the spiritual food. And when someone's missing for a long period of time, we need to go out looking for them. Not to chastise them. Not to say that we're better because we're worried about you. We need to know what kind of burden you're carrying so that we can help you with it. But when we eat together and we pray together, we strengthen that bond, and then it's a reflection out into our community to see what they want to be part of. A place that they want to see the love of Christ and that it's real and that it's true. When people see that, they stick with the church that they walk into. I encourage you this morning to find your small group, whether it's a choir, whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's a women's guild, or just a group of parents saying, hey, I want to come, have you come over to my house, have dinner with me so we can talk about the struggles of life and encourage one another. If we don't have the small group, you start it in your own home. One of my favorite miniseries is the show The Band of Brothers. It talks about a unit that was in World War II. They went through Europe. They fought together. They lost fellow soldiers together. And they got their name from this one poem from Shakespeare, from his play, Henry V. And it goes like this. He says, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. See, when we share the struggles of this life with one another, we become bonded together. We know that we'll be there for one another in their times of distress. We are a band of Christians that are bound together by the Holy Spirit and by the love of the Lord, knowing that we need each other to make it through until we walk from this life into eternity itself. One writer wrote it this way. When you put the Word of God with the Spirit of God and it meets the people of God, great things will happen. If you've ever thought about making this church home your family, and you'd like to talk about that, fill out one of your connection cards, drop it in the offering plate that we'll take up here in just a few moments. But to have true fellowship with one another, you need first to have fellowship with God's Son, Jesus, through Christ. You need to have His blood applied to your sins in your life, the experience of forgiveness and the grace that only comes through Him. You need to confess Him as Lord. And if you're thinking of making that decision, mark that on your card as well and put it in your offering plate. Only together can we fully experience the love of Christ. I remember talking to one gentleman at another church that I served at, and he didn't mean this as a slight. He just came up to me because he was so excited. He loved his church so much. He says, you know what my favorite part of church is? I was hoping he'd say the sermon or some powerful message. He says, my favorite time of the church, he says, is after church is over. And I said, hold on, think about it. He says, that's when I get to visit with everybody. He says, that's when I get to catch up with everyone. He says, when I miss out, he says, I feel like I've missed out on something special at church. It takes place at Salem. When I'm leaving there, I don't know if they're discussing me after I leave. I don't know what's going on. But they're standing in the parking lot, and they'll be there for 20 minutes or more just talking to one another, catching up and visiting with one another. That's a symbol of true fellowship and the true power of the love that only comes through the power of the church to be the disciple that He wants us to meet. Connect through worship, grow spiritually, and love and fellowship with one another. So let's pray together this morning. Father, it's been good to be in Your house. I pray, Father, that we continue to build ourselves into disciples that You want us to be. And one aspect is opening ourselves up to those around us so they know our burdens and so that we know their burdens. James told us, he says, hey, if you're sick or if you're struggling, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. I don't know what to pray unless I get to know my brother or my sister in Christ. I pray, Father, that we do that with grace and mercy. We don't do it with judgment because all of us are struggling with something different in our lives, Father. But You want us to be the disciple that You want us to be. Help us to worship, help us to grow, and help us to fellowship one another, Father. And as we do that, I know we will be a reflection that people see in this community and say, man, I want some of that. And I pray, Father, when they do, we'll be able to tell them the story of Jesus. Be with us today. Give us opportunities in all the different places we go to share your love and to build connection with those around us. Father, thank you for everybody that made our worship, our choir people, the people that serve in the back that do the sound, and people watching online. Thank you for being with us this day. We ask this all in your name and through the name of Jesus Christ.